Good morning, listeners. Welcome to the Revisionist Report with Carolyn Yeager. It's Wednesday, June 23rd, and I'm Carolyn. I will continue today with the same topic that I might describe as the mass re-education we have been subjected to since the end of World War II. And I refer you again to the website, www.german-views.de, from which I am getting my inspiration at the moment. On Monday, though, I will be switching gears to Holocaust revisionism. Eric Hunt, the producer of The Last Days of the Big Lie, which can be seen at www.revisionistworkshop.com, will be my guest. Together, we're going to reveal new information about the Dennis Avey survivor story hoax, especially Eric's recent discoveries. Read a little bit about it at the Revisionist Workshop website. And since we're both continuing to work on it right up to Monday, there's no telling just what will be revealed. I've been researching and writing about Dennis Avey for over a year now, and Eric has linked to my most important articles on the above-mentioned blog, but be sure to tune in on Monday for what will surely be a most interesting installment of my revisionist report. I will be taking calls again today at 1-800-313-9443. There are only a few points I want to make before I go to the subject of what is political correctness. That's going to be the main topic for today. In his comments on the blog that I've been discussing for the past 3 days, the commenter Thomas Volker makes the point that denazification was aimed directly at our cultural identity. These two words are going to be really what we're looking at today and what it all revolves around, cultural identity. It may look, he says, I'm quoting from him now, he says, it may look as if we fight Americanism, that is these Germans who represent the viewpoint taken by this on this blog. But that is not true, he says. In fact, we fight philosophical materialism, which is anti-idealism. The point is that philosophical materialism is arbitrariness randomness. Now, I am quoting here I'm quoting him here, but in little pieces, I'm leaving a whole lot out because it's a little bit too confusing. There's too much information given, and I'm just trying to go over the highlights. So while I'm giving his words, I'm leaving quite a bit of it out. So he says, while the U.S. Constitution is the basis for the U.S. society, our constitutions are the corsets of our societies. I think he means, European, a certain amount of European constitutions. Because he says our societies existed long before our constitutions existed. So the constitutions are more of an outgrowth of what the culture was in the broad sense, rather than starting out the nation with a constitution, and then it follows from there. Now, but here, this is me now. I want to insert something right here, because last week, Deanna Spingola on this network had Veronica Clark as her guest. And Veronica said something that I had been thinking about and wanting to say, and she said it very well. It is that Germans have always had a more authoritarian society and government, and that suits them. You know, it has always suited that. That's the type of people they are. All right. Well, this time my music is a little louder, and I hear it.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling Total Transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1 800 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 0232.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I didn't hear that music after all. So I did the same thing all over again. You know, I have not learned to talk on the to a radio audience and to watch the time at the same time, and I don't know that I ever will, so I'm going to probably always depend on hearing that music inching up on me, but we'll get that straightened out. Now, as I was saying, that the Germans have always had more authoritarian societies and governments than some other people think is right, you know, or would like for themselves. So Germans currently have a republic. But before the Third Reich, and before the Third Reich, it was a republic too. But neither one of these periods were particularly good periods for Germans. And previous to the Weimar Republic, they always had a monarchy. So we should not believe that one form of government is right for everybody. The democracies want to do away with any German authoritarianism because they feel threatened by its strength. This gives strength to Germans. They function well in this way. It's not authoritarian to them, and it's not overly authoritarian as those who feel threatened by Germany want to make it out to be. So I say that these democracies today, as those the ex-allies who are in charge of all this, they want to make everyone weak. I say democracy is a rather weak form of government, really, and it's a flawed one. But today, I grew up not even being able to consider, I wouldn't even have considered that democracy was not the very best and only form of government anybody would want to have if they had their choice. I mean, this is just basic in our education. But I've come to look at it a little bit differently. I'm not saying we don't want any democracy. I'm just saying that we need to have a little more flexibility. And when every nation, talking again about the world order today that wants democracy everywhere, when every nation is in the world is a democracy, it'll be very easy to manipulate and control them all. Really, it will. So this is why they're pushing this. But that's maybe another subject for another time. Now, back to Thomas Volcker. He says the first thing to understand is what Marxism is. So start with the first communist revolution, he says, was the French Revolution. I agree with that. I spoke about that a few weeks ago, and that was the first time I realized that. The French Revolution was a hunger revolution. Then Bonaparte arose and started a counter-revolution together with the so-called bourgeoisie and parts of the old gentry. So the first communists lost. Now, let's switch to Marx. The basic principle of Marxism is that the production capabilities and the estates of the bourgeoisie shall be socialized. Marx said the society shall own estates, especially productive estates, and property gives power of control. So Marx proposed the dictatorship of the avant-garde of the proletarians, so that the leaders of the Communist Party would own all of the property and control all of the production. Now today, of course, speaking of the estates, we would put in place of that like our industries, our big industries or corporations, you know, that this is what would equal the estates of the old days, of the old days of the aristocracies. Now, to bring about this change, you have to have a revolution. And he says, to start a revolution, you have to synchronize the intention of the individuals. You have to form a so-called collective intention. And this collective intention in Marx's theory was hunger. After World War I, cutting out some of what he wrote and moving right ahead, after World War I, they saw that it did not work. The workers did not join a global socialist revolution, but did their duty in their nations, the natural grown societies that they had, that they were a part of. And here began the work of the cultural Marxists. When the economic Marxism or revolution didn't work out, they turned to a cultural revolution. And the first thing that they needed to do was to destroy those cultural bindings or those cultural sense of belonging to a culture that we all have, the love and loyalty to our own culture. They did this by branding the history, our history, as evil. This is a critical theory, but this is also very important. When you find that whatever you are reading, looking at, whoever you are listening to or whatever is branding your history as evil, you need to watch out. I'm not saying that no one can ever criticize our history or whoever you are, whatever your history is, because there are certainly evil things done. But this has to be looked at very closely, because branding our history as evil is the way to make us become, actually, I hate to use this word, but self-hating, and to see ourselves as wrong and therefore ripe for some new ideas which these revolutionaries are bringing about. Now, also, I'm not against revolutionary activities, but it depends on what's behind it, and we can get very confused about all this. The National Socialism of Hitler, says Volcker, was counter-revolutionary from the Marxist point of view, because in the Third Reich, the amount of money was bound to the amount of goods, and the unions were forbidden, and the borders were closed for foreign workers. Now, though the unions were forbidden, it was because they had been communist-led unions, and they were always wanting to foment strikes and create differences, create problems, conflicts between the property class and the working class, rather than work out those differences. And, of course, in the Third Reich, there were labor groups, and they discussed, and they had rights, and things actually became much better off in the Third Reich under these rules than they did previously in the communist unions. Now, the other thing, in the Third Reich, the small and medium companies were promoted. They weren't discarded. And in fact, a lot of effort was put into them, even though they might not have been the most cost effective. They wanted to have the small and medium companies, which were German entrepreneurs, German people, you know, in business, you know, in their own businesses. Now, another, the market for needed goods, electricity, water, and so on, was regulated, planned, while the market for wanted goods was a free market, that is what we would call consumer goods. And a strong nationalism was institutionalized for compensation of the disintegration of the society, which had come about under the work of the Frankfurt School from 1924 to 1933, which simply means that a national consolidation was promoted rather than a disintegration of the society through class hatreds and divisions, which was being done during the Weimar Republic. Now, this resulted in great prosperity. In 2 years, there was no more hunger, and the society improved. So going back to the Frankfurt School, Volcker says in the 1950s, now after the war and Hitler's gone and all of that, now we're in a new age here, they had to face another rise in productivity. Of course, we all know the great boom of the 1950s. And so they had the problem that they didn't have any oppressors, and they also didn't have any oppressed, at least in the Western Allied nations themselves. And so the solution they found was to turn to cultural Marxism. Now, let's see, they had to, let me just skip this little part here. So cultural Marxism brings into play multiculturalism, polymorphism, or polymorphous perversion, and things like this, which are a serious threat to our societies. The intention was to make some members of the society attack the base of the society, and to provide them with tools ensuring that they are able to continue until the majority of the people is willing to stop them. Well, we're under this very system today, and we still do not have the majority of the people willing to stop them. I'm going to skip all. There's nothing else here to go on with. I'm going to go to, as I recommended yesterday, and I think the day before too, this book on political correctness, which you can find at www.observations.net/marxism.html. That's not too hard to get down. And I have it on the archive page from yesterday, but I'll say it one more time, observations.net/marxism.html. And it is Political Correctness, A Short History of an Ideology. What I'm going to do today is read some and comment from the first chapter of this, which is going to be, What is Political Correctness? And I'll just start, since we still have a minute or so left before the break. Political correctness is, in fact, cultural Marxism. And it goes back to the 1920s and the writings of the Italian communist Antonio Gramsci. In 1923, in Germany, a group of Marxists founded an institute devoted to making the translation of Gramsci's writings. And this institute was the Institute of, was the Institute of Social Research, later known as the Frankfurt School. One of its founders was George Lukacs, and he stated its purpose is answering the question, who shall save us from Western civilization? On that, I'll be back in 3 minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608, 1-908-691-2608, or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager. I'm talking about political correctness today. And let me remind you that the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. And let me also remind you that my personal website is www.carolynyeager.com. And I invite you to go there. All of my writings are there, but actually there is quite a bit that I've written and have not posted there because, well, for one thing, most of what I've written at another website I have, which is ellieweaseltattoo.com, I don't put that on my website because it's not necessary since I do advertise the Ellie Weasel website there. And I do encourage you to go to that website. Now, we're talking about political correctness. This is really just a fascinating subject, but also it's one that I think we kind of take it as just a sort of a current slang or something, a sort of a current phase or that we're going through, not as the deeply political movement that it is and what it really represents. So I'll continue, as I was saying, from this book by William Lind, as a matter of fact, it is, that these Marxists created this Institute of Social Research, which became known as the Frankfurt School because they were located mostly in Frankfurt, Germany, I think. And then in the 1930s, they fled National Socialism in Germany and went to the United States. Well, that was good for Germany, but it was terrible for the United States. But the United States was taking in all of these people, and this is when we got a whole lot of them, much to our detriment. George Lukacs, I guess, I was saying today, a minute ago, stated that the purpose for what they were doing was to answer the question, who shall save us from Western civilization? Well, who was asking that question? Well, they were asking it and they were answering it. they gained profound influence in American universities once they got to the United States. The Frankfurt School blended Marx with Freud and later influences. They added linguistics to create critical theory and deconstruction. Now, here's how this works. They also greatly influenced education theory, as we can well understand. And through institutions of higher education, they gave birth to what we now call political correctness. Political correctness, according to Lind, started in the universities, in our academic institutions. And he says the lineage is clear, it's traceable right back to Karl Marx. So this is not just something that's from today, some new thing, political correctness, about how to be polite or not offend anyone. This goes, according to him, back to Karl Marx and the whole Marxist theories of revolution of the so-called proletariat. So the totalitarian nature, he says, of political correctness can be seen on campuses where political correctness has taken over, or otherwise PC, we call it PC, has taken over the college. Freedom of speech, of the press, and even of thought are all eliminated. Cultural Marxism says that history is wholly explained by which groups, defined by sex, race, and sexual normality or abnormality, have power over which other groups. Political correctness defines blacks, Hispanics, feminist women, homosexuals, and some additional minority groups as virtuous, and white men as evil. Now, I don't know how many of you listening or who will be listening to this program later consider that this is true, that is that distinct, that white men are considered evil in the politically correct academic climate, and these other what used to be more fringe groups are now called virtuous, and the ones that we should be focusing our attention on and giving the most to. But if you look at what is happening in universities, that's very clear. We have black studies, we have Hispanic studies, we have feminist studies, we have, I don't know if it's not called homosexual studies, but there certainly is a whole lot of emphasis put on the normality of various sexual identities, you know, various sexual ways that people see themselves, including, what is that one called, when you're transsexual. And so all of this is considered now, where they're teaching us and teaching our children that these groups are virtuous, they're good, they're harmless, they're peaceful. They're not warmongering like these awful white men, and they point out our white history and all the evil that the whites have done to these people, and how now these people need to be treated better and, in fact, come into a dominant position. This actually is happening whether you want to believe it or not, I would say. Now, I hear the music. We're going to take another break, and then we'll come back for our long segment.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm
I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and I'm holding forth here on my revisionist report on cultural Marxism. Now, let's talk about how cultural Marxism uses deconstruction. It analyzes literature using deconstruction. What is deconstruction? Deconstruction is the way that they can prove, they think, that any text, past or present, illustrates the oppression of blacks, women, homosexuals, etc., by reading that meaning into the words of the text, regardless of their actual meanings. This is also called critical theory. It's called by Professor Kevin MacDonald the culture of critique, and he probably uses these same words too. Of course he does, and I want to just point out that one of my areas of special interest is the Holocaust, and in Holocaust literature, you find a perfect example of this kind of thing, of using, changing the meaning of words, or saying that words mean something other than the usual meaning, that the meaning we've always thought they were. They say, oh no, this implies this is secretly meaning this. So we find that words with clear meanings are given other meanings that illustrate the intent to murder Jews. If need be, they are simply called code words that really have the meaning the Holocausters give it. I should have prepared some of these words. Let's see what I can think of here. When they use the word this might not be the best example, but the word gas camera on the blueprints for these crematorium buildings that exist, there are some rooms called gas camera, and in some other places there's rooms that are called gas camera. gas camera is a gas chamber, but the gas chambers, these gas chambers were used for delousing clothing and mattresses and anything else that they wanted to get to kill the lice in. And they're not of the, many of them are not of a size that would be proper for the for these large 2,000 and 3,000 people to be put into, and and the buildings that were the rooms that were used as morgues, and they are called Keller's lichen Keller's, which would be comparable to a mortuary. They say, well, those were gas chambers. So they use German words, and they say, well, they really meant this by it. Another one is the words that are used for extermination, Ausrottung, and some others that have various meanings that can mean to get rid of, to destroy. But that is meant in the sense of you know, getting them out of Germany, getting the Jews out of where they were, and putting them in another place. That's how they spoke like that all the time from the beginning, and they used those words for other things in which they had the same meaning, that it was to if you totally eradicate, that is you get them out from you don't have them around you anymore. But that has been insisted that the meaning for that is only one, which is to kill, to destroy, in the sense of killing, murder, so on. So I'm not doing a very good job of talking about this Holocaust literature. Sorry. Maybe I can come back to that in a little bit. Now, the message, though, to go on with the Lind chapter, the message is the same as in economic Marxism. That is, it's a society of radical egalitarianism enforced by the powers of the state. So political correctness now looms over American society like a colossus. He says it has taken over both political parties and is enforced by many laws and government regulations. It almost totally controls the most powerful element in our culture, the entertainment industry. It dominates both public and higher education. Many a college campus is a small, ivy-colored North Korea. It has even captured the clergy in many Christian churches. Well, let's go back to the entertainment industry, because I think we can see it very clearly there. Everyone is very much aware of the entertainment industry, and we know who controls it, and we know the kind of political correctness that goes on there. I mean, there all of these groups that I mentioned earlier, if there is anything that casts any kind of aspersion, even if in what used to be acceptable jokes, or even not in a joke, in just not saying what they want you to say about it, about these groups, then you get in real big trouble. And the whole media gets together and attacks the culprit, and goes on a real, talk about a witch hunt, goes on a real witch hunt, and that person is driven out, so that people are absolutely petrified of upsetting or getting on the wrong side of any of these groups, or using any words that are not allowed, or speaking what they might consider their own thoughts. And also in the entertainment industry, you can't, the entertainment is never set up anymore to make white people look good. It's set up to make non-white people look good, and to make white people look either stupid or evil or, well, another thing is, which is not really the entertainment industry, but it is the media. We have the History Channel, the History Network, which so many people seem to like. And I've heard people on this network call in and say how when they're disparaging TV and TV watching, and are correctly saying, yes, you know, people watch too much TV, and then somebody will say, well, I heard someone just the other day, I don't watch very much TV, I just watch the news and the History Channel. And I thought, and the host said, well, fine, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's like, wait a minute, you know, the news is very bad in itself. it's politically correct. And then the History Channel is totally politically correct history. So these many myths are going to be reinforced in your mind, and that's the last thing we need. So there's a lot of understanding still that needs to be gained by so many of our people who mean well, but they still haven't seen through the whole affair. Now, the churches, we have the World Council of Churches, which is very liberal, and the clergy usually represent all the liberal causes, all the politically correct ways and means and terms and beliefs. And, of course, we've already talked about the colleges and higher education, how bad that is. So, and yet that is the one place where there might be some hope to make inroads, because there is the idea that in higher education there should be freedom of thought, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and every view should be allowed. And they do look pretty bad when they don't allow that. So that would be one area that you could maybe, that a lot more could be done in. Now, going back to Lynn, one more question must be addressed. He says, how can Americans combat political correctness? Now, I know that's what a lot of you would want to hear about. You don't want to hear about the problem. You know what the problem is. What can we do about it? To that end, Lynn says, it is not sufficient to criticize political correctness. I really like what he's saying here. I'm going to spend a little time on this because it needs time. We're all criticizing, you know, so many of us, we're all good at criticizing what we see, what's wrong. This is what's wrong with it. But this is not going to change anything. Rather, those who would defeat cultural Marxism must defy it. They must use words it forbids and refuse to use words that it mandates. For example, he says, sex is a better word to use than gender. They have imposed this gender word so that they can sort of make things sexless, and then it doesn't matter what, you know, what sex you are or how the sexes interact or anything like that, because they're just different genders, which really impersonalizes it and changes it from what we know and we feel deep in our natural instincts. So that's one example. I'm going to come up with a few others in a little bit, which I have talked about in the recent past myself. Now, he says they must shout from the housetops the realities that political correctness seeks to suppress. And he gives some examples. He says they must refuse to turn their children over to public schools. These are, we're talking about strong actions, real actions, even to defy the words, to use words that are forbidden. I use words that are forbidden. I have gotten fed up and I've seen through this and I've realized that these words are keeping everyone in a prison. And even though if they think, like those who criticize political correctness, friends, we may think we are against it and we're doing something great by criticizing it or listening to these programs on RBN or calling in and saying so. But what about in your own daily life? Are you avoiding these words that are taboo? And are you using the words that you are told to use? This has to stop, and we can figure this out from all of these words that are, whatever words are taboo, those are the ones that we should say, well, I don't think, you know, I think I'm going to use the word that they say I'm not supposed to use. Now, I'm not talking about using words that are insulting to people. I'm not talking about going to that extreme, nor would that wouldn't be good, nor would it represent anything that we believe. But I'm talking about the difference between, well, all right, let's talk about some words. I recently did a program on the word racism, and I talked about that. Now, this is a real, real hot word. You know, everybody is anti-racist, and yet I argued for the acceptance of racism. Because I said it is really racialism. It is a belief in differences among the races, and it has been turned into racism. As a matter of fact, the word racist arose after the French Revolution, which I said earlier was the first Marxist revolution or the first communist revolution, which eventually failed. But, well, they've all failed. Although we're still in the throes of it, you know, we're still in the throes of it. They're working on it, as I hope you got that not from a open way, but from a cultural change, you know, affecting us, our attitude toward our culture. So this is a word. If you want to talk about race, if you want to talk about racialism, if you want to talk about racial differences, do it. Do it. This is what that, you know, this is what you're not allowed to do. But be brave, unless you don't believe in it. A lot of people don't. It's okay to say anti-racist, and it's okay to call people racist. But it's not okay for the people who are being called that to say what they think about it. Now, another word is anti-Semite. I mean, that's one is easier, actually, and we're all familiar with that. As a matter of fact, I just typed anti-Semite, and I was reminded that my word program, the word processor, automatically changes when I write anti-Semite in all one word in lowercase with no dash and no capital S in the Semite. It automatically adjusts it to anti-Semite. And I have to manually go back and redo it to make it stay the way I want it, because I have discovered that there is a difference between the way, it's not actually the spelling, but the sort of the spelling, because when you have anti-Semite with the S, capital S, it has one connotation and meaning, and when you change it to anti-Semite, all one word, all lowercase, it has another one. But I have a caller. I'm going to take my caller while we still have some time, and it's Steve. Hi, Steve.
How you doing, Carolyn?
All right, what do you think?
Well, this is the first time I ever really disagreed with you, and I don't see it that the way you see it. As a matter of fact, it's interesting that Bill Saitung, they're running a reprint of a British Sun article. I guess it's a Sun magazine or Sun newspaper.
Well, tell me first what you disagree with real clearly instead of going into the
you're stereotyping a German people and capitalism.
In what way?
In what way? Well, you know, this article here, if you believe that kind of Veronica Clark and McDonald stuff, who don't sound very Germanic, I'm always kidded about my name is not Germanic enough, but those names aren't very Germanic. You get into stuff like German women. You know, there's a quiz here. How German are you? German women don't shave their armpits. I mean, stuff like this. We don't need that. But you wouldn't talk about capitalism. Yeah, I think there's a big problem with that, because the Germans look at it as privileged plutocracy, and it's not the best qualified getting the job, but the highest bidder, and no social mobility. I know I've talked to you off the air about British Expeditionary Force, the British Army. You bought commissions from lieutenancy up to field marshal. Consequently, they suffered a lot of fiascos, whether it was...
Steve, I don't think this is what I've been talking about. I don't want to interrupt you, but I don't want to go off into something. I want to reiterate here that I meant what I said when I said that when I heard Veronica Clark say that, it was something I had been thinking, and I agree with it. I thought she said it well, and I do believe in it. I'm not saying that all Germans are, you know, these big-time authoritarians, and certainly they have been changed from, from their natural nature, which is not, I'm not saying it's like some terrible authoritarianism, but let me put it this way, they are more attuned to working together in a hierarchy than they are with this total freedom that they're supposedly enjoying now under the Democratic Republic, and which is full of pornography. Somebody called in yesterday, I think it was Joe, talking about how they had introduced pornography and nudity. And if you look at these newspapers, these German newspapers that you read, they always have these pictures, on the online versions and in the papers too, because I've been there and I've seen them, of sexually explicit photographs and so on, and Germans partying and acting it up. They push this kind of thing because the German newspaper owners are all a part of this re-education process still. So this is where I stand on this. I'm sorry. We're going to another break. Stay on, Steve, because I think it's real good that you brought this up. Don't go away. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen, and Steve is on the line, and he's disagreeing with me, but I think I'd like to say a little bit more to explain what I'm talking about, but I think I talked enough, and it's Steve's turn. So what do you have to say to that, Steve?
I appreciate that. You were talking about capitalism. Now, the Germans, the Strasser wing of the National Socialist Party, they discerned between a raffender Kapitalismus, that would be a sort of a raping capitalism, where it's a strip mining and exploitative, just the financial capitalism, where the derivatives and all these other notional make-believe things work, and then a schaffender capitalism.
Okay, Steve. Now I am in no way espousing monarchical regimes. I am not espousing going back to the aristocracy. I am actually a fan of National Socialism and the way it operated in the Third Reich in the way of merit. It was a classless society. It wasn't so far socialist that they tried to make everybody, have the same income or something. No, there was private enterprise, private property, private everything. But these strong class barriers were broken down and things were based on merit. And I think that what I'm talking about with authoritarian might be better said to be Germans like things to be structured. They're very structured in their minds. They're very organizational minded, excellent organizers. That's why they function so well as that, you know, in the, all these areas when it comes to organizing things and making things work. And so they like that structure, and there's not enough structure in the kind of government they have now and in the general idea of democracy for Germans.
Well, you could take a look at, let's say, the British. They have classes, social classes, and they strongly adhere to it, but yet they're very hierarchical.
Well, they're not really. They just pretend to be.
Okay.
Really not in place.
Okay, well, all right. I just think they are. Well, I know they are. And they're always pulling the class snobbishness, and that's part of their problem, that they don't let – well, it's not the old German slogan, Freie Bahn dem Tüchtigen. It's not an open road to the capable man. And obviously that's formulated in German because that was a German slogan. It's not a British slogan.
Yeah, well, here's what I'd like to say before the time is up, that to finish off this thing that those who would defy political correctness must behave according to the old rules of our culture, not the new rules of the culture new rules of cultural Marxism or political correctness, which are things like, he says, ladies should be wives and homemakers. This sounds very strange and awful to many people, and not even all women want to hear this, but this is a man's point of view. But I agree with it because I didn't finish what he said. As far as what he says here, I agree. He said they should be wives and homemakers, not cops or soldiers. You see, they're turning – what we've got going on today is taking women out of the home. And I'm not saying women have to be slaves to their home. You know, they can't do something else. But they shouldn't be made into policemen and soldiers, which is what they're doing. And children – he says children should not be born out of wedlock. Well, it shouldn't be encouraged. He says open homosexuals should be shunned. Well, that's one point of view. If you feel that way, you shouldn't be allowed to do it, but you're not allowed today. So he's saying that we need, if you want to change things, you have to be openly defiant. And we have to pick and choose what we're going to defy. And one thing is the words we use. Well, we're going to continue with this tomorrow. Steve, I thank you very much for your call. Have to say goodbye to everyone, and tomorrow, Friday, we will finish this up. So think about the things you'd like to bring up and call in tomorrow. Bye for now.
Gold, ever climbing.